right now. Today is the day that you choose to change the rest of your life. It is time to turn your setback into the greatest comeback story ever told. And nobody is more capable than you.
Yeah, Friday!
This is the Ranting Weight Watcher Podcast, the future number one weight loss podcast in the world. I am your host, Donato Russo. I hope you enjoy the show today. If this is your first time here and you enjoy the show, please subscribe and spread the word of the Ranting Weight Watcher Podcast wherever you are and to whomever will listen. If you'd like to connect on social media or wherever else, check out my Linktree page, linktree.com/ The Ranting Weight Watcher. Let's connect today. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 181 of the Ranting Weight Watcher Podcast. If this is your first time here, I want to welcome you to the show. If you enjoyed, I hope you please consider subscribing. If the app you're using allows you to rate the show, please consider leaving a 4-star or 5-star rating. Also, if it allows you to leave feedback about the show, please consider leaving feedback. What happens when you do each of these things is the algorithm updates, and anybody who might be looking for a weight loss related podcast will find the Ranting Weight Watcher Podcast just a little bit easier, and you would help the growth of this podcast in the process. One of the best things you can do to support this show is to literally tell anybody who you know that's in the same position we are in about the show. Tell them how much it's helped you and then pass it on. If I tell people to listen to the show, I just sound like a salesman. But when you tell someone to listen to the show, it's like sending them to your favorite new restaurant. They will come quicker from you than they will listening to me say, come. I want to give a special thanks to a brand new financial supporter to the podcast. Jane, thank you so much for considering this show an investment, and it just mind boggles me that anybody would invest their money, their hard-earned money, in help the growth of this podcast. Thank you also to the other financial supporters who have already been supporting the podcast. If supporting this podcast financially is something you're interested in the description at the bottom of this podcast, you can scroll down and see the Linktree link. You can click that, and you will see that on the website that loads. If you wanted to become a financial supporter, it is there. Well, let's not waste any time. Let's get into this! Journey updates. I am up this week 1.2 pounds. Total loss since January 2019 is 178.4 pounds. You know how I do it. I'm not going to go crazy into this. This is the first gain of three. We don't make any changes whatsoever until we get three gains in a row. So I am officially on week three of my little experiment. I told you guys last week that I am treating my body like a little bit of a laboratory experiment, and ran into some bumps last week. And so I think I did a good job fixing that this week. You know, I gotta say, it is amazing. I mean, I already knew what protein can do for your satisfaction, right? But there's one thing I switched here, and I'm choosing fattier protein, which literally, it's against everything we've been taught. The experiment has to do with some health conditions that I think I might be able to fix. So we're going to see. We're going to experiment here. I don't know how long this experiment's going to go on, but I have to reach a point where I'm only eating meat for a little period of time, and I think it's going to be 30 days. Once I get to that point where I'm only eating meat for 30 days, then we will see what happens to the skin condition in that process. There are other people that I know that have different skin conditions than I do, but have switched to this lifestyle of carnivore and their skin conditions are gone. From what I hear about this transition, there's so many things that can be fixed. And it's not just skin conditions. We're talking about arthritis. I've heard some incredible stories. Testimonies, I should say. I heard some incredible testimonies of people that are in their senior years who have totally changed their health by eating in a carnivore lifestyle. So my idea is to get there, stay there for 30 days, and see what happens with the skin from that point on, and then make another decision after the 30 days. It's just weird how I have only added some things, and literally these things have made me so satisfied that the carbs just went out the window. I told you guys not too long ago, it wasn't too many episodes ago, that I said that I didn't think I would be able to go any lower than 175 grams per day on carbs. Even though Christine's book recommended I be at 144 based on the macro type. And, you know, I talk so often about levels, right? I say to you that when things slow down, it's like you're coming to the next level. Things are about to get harder. And one of the things you need to do is educate yourself. And then you take on the next level. And the more weight you lose, the closer you get to your goal, the harder it becomes to lose weight. And a lot of that is if you keep educating yourself, the decisions of what to make in those times become easier, right? It just becomes this mental game of, are you willing to make these changes? We are taught a very, very friendly and easy on the ears message of eat what you want and lose weight. And in the beginning, that works just fine. But at some point in everybody's journey, it's not going to work anymore. And you have to start to say goodbye to certain foods that you eat on a regular basis, switch them out with something else, and eat those other foods that you love less often. I'm not saying you get rid of them. I'm saying you eat them less. You don't need to have certain things every day or even every week. As you progress, it may go from every day you have something to once a week you have something to once every 2 weeks you have something and so on. It doesn't mean you ever stop eating it. It just means you eat it less and less. And the funny thing in my progression here is that every time I made changes and gained a little more progress. As I went through every year making different things happen, I noticed that every single time I would know the next change. It would become this mental game of, am I ready for that or am I not ready for that? And then out of nowhere, I would just know it's time and I'd make the switch. Kind of like the story I tell you guys about how I used to walk in my parking lot 20 minutes and then I'd come in the house. That was my first 8 weeks of introducing walking into my lifestyle, was sitting in my parking lot going around in circles because I didn't think I could walk any more than 20 minutes. So I figured, let me just stay in the parking lot and I'll do this 2-3 times a week, whatever it was. I felt like I was a little stronger. But then the next thing was, how far do I go from the house? And then I established this entire outer neighborhood that I would walk through, always knowing about that park that was just a little bit further down the road. And I would say to myself, oh no, I'm not ready for that. Not ready for that. And then one day I was just ready and I went. And then when I got there, I realized how big it was. And then I'd say, oh, I'm not ready for the whole park. I'm just ready for half the park. So every stage has been this mental game of, am I ready? Am I willing? Am I able? The one thing I could tell you is I've always been able. It's have I been ready and have I been willing are the two really main questions every time I transition into something else. In regards to food itself, especially when I made the switch into macros, last year in April when I made that switch, it was, I read that book and I was all in, ready to go. Before that, I looked at macros as something that the elite people do. It was something for muscle-bound people who are extremely fit. It's for them. It's not for people like me. I don't even understand it. I'm not ready for that. And then I read the book, and all of a sudden I was ready. Why? What was the difference? The difference is I read something that gave me knowledge and made me understand it. And what am I always telling you guys to do? When you think feel things are slowing down and you feel things like they're just nothing's going anywhere, no matter what you do, this is the perfect time to remove guesswork and start educating yourself about what nutrition really is. Because the one thing I can honestly tell you, of all of these weight loss systems that exist, none of them is out to educate you on true nutrition. They just design their system and say, do our system and you'll drop weight. And none of that is false. If you do their system, you will drop weight. But none of it is geared toward you re-educating yourself and to learn what actual nutrition is. Because at some point, we have to learn the hard lesson and knowing we can't put in our mouth what makes us happy all the time. We have to get to a point where 97% of the time, we are giving our bodies the nutrients it needs to give us what we want. That's a hard pill to swallow, and people don't like that. But it doesn't make it less true. At some point, what you do now will no longer matter. It won't work. And you could put blindfold on and guess your way through it and go crazy attempting one thing after another, throwing, like, close your eyes and throw a dart at the wall and see what idea you hit. Or you can read a book you don't know. You could educate yourself. And then all of a sudden, it just becomes, instead of asking, what do? The questions become, how do I do this? What's my plan to implement this? How do I transition over? And I found that every time I reached a point like this and I finally understood it, I was ready. Everything I've attempted has been a transitionary thing. When I transitioned from WW to looking at the macros of what I'm doing, I used macros to decide what food to change. Because just knowing the points of something wasn't enough anymore. Because now I needed to know what percentage of my diet was protein, what percentage of my diet was fat, what percentage of my diet was carbohydrates. And my impression was that the highest percentage was already protein. And yet, when I started tracking macros and started weighing literally everything that went in my mouth, I discovered that I was eating 3 times more carbohydrates than protein. And in my head, it was the other way around. Go figure that. because certain things in my daily intake, I never even consider them to be carbohydrates. You know, when you look at certain things, you're just not thinking that's a carbohydrate. You think carbohydrate, you think bread, you think cookies, cake, whatever, sweets. You don't think apple. You don't think banana, orange, pear, whatever. Carbs are carbs no matter what. Doesn't matter. Doesn't play any games. We can look at them differently, but that doesn't mean that once they enter our system, they don't act like any other carb. In the end, carbs are carbs, protein's protein, fat's fat. And I was under the impression that the biggest number would have been protein. And I found out that the carbohydrates is more than triple what I was eating in protein. Again, the quest became, all right, let's time to make a cut. Let's go. What are we switching? What are we doing? What does this fruit become? So I went from 600 grams a day plus, let's say the highest point was 650 grams of carbohydrates versus 190 grams of protein. I had to transition and almost drop it as low as the protein was and then raise the protein. So that's what I started to do. But I did it transitionally. Because had I gone from 600 grams to 144 in one day, I never would have succeeded. It's kind of weird because the way I keep saying about the levels, it's almost like I geared my mentality to know that certain stages required certain work. And when I got to those things, it became, am I ready to do this work? Nobody in their right mind should be starting today and considering carnivore. Especially if the majority of the food you eat is processed food and all that other stuff. If you're eating junk food and processed food and all kinds of other things, the addictions attached to those foods are, they run deep. They run deep. And I accidentally switched those things. It was just something I said, you know what? I got to get rid of all this stuff. It was like everything that came in a package got switched to a fruit. And that's how I ended up having such high carbs, is because instead of eating whatever WW chip snack or a cookie snack or granola bar snack from WW or whatever other company there is, it became an apple. It became a banana. It became a whole food item. I was obsessed to switching as many things as I intake a day as possible to whole foods. And then the next obsession became switching as many of those whole foods as possible to certain nutrient-based whole foods. And it got so hard when I got to the 175, it became another mental game. I didn't see a way because I was thinking the wrong way. I wasn't doing it the way even, you know, it was Christine who re-jogged my memory and said, don't think of it as what you're getting rid of, thinking of it as what you're adding, right? I'm paraphrasing what she said, but a subtraction by addition is what I called it. I wasn't thinking that way. I was thinking, oh man, I really like the apple and the banana. They're my favorite fruits that I eat all day. I literally would have dished everything else, but I was holding on to this apple and banana like somebody was trying to take candy away from me. And they were the easiest ones. They would have gotten me to the book numbers from 175 to 144 would have been easy had I just gotten rid of those two things and kept everything else. Then I would have been at the book's numbers. Just like that. Because the apple can be upwards of 20 grams of carbohydrates and the banana also, 20, 25. So it would have been an easy transition to go from 175 to 144. No issues. Just eliminating those two things. But I couldn't do it. And it was because I was not thinking the right way. I had completely forgotten what I had done in every other transition. when I was switching from eating the foods I ate on a regular basis when from my old life, I chose point-friendly items that I knew would make me successful because I liked the way they tasted. So it was about not eliminating pizza. It was about what can replace pizza the majority of the time so that pizza could become like a once-a-week thing. What do I like that's a lower point value so that pizza can become once a week, not once a day? Even then, I made slow transitions. Even then, it was always about what will it change to, not what am I eliminating. Every time I made a transition, it was like that. But for some reason, to go from 175 to 144, it's like I completely forgot that whole idea. Subtraction by addition. In my desperation to try and heal myself as naturally as possible without having to deal with being a laboratory experiment of big pharma for the rest of my life, I found people with autoimmune conditions switching their lifestyle to carnivore and finding healing there. I found a whole lot more than that. I found people who had Parkinson's, and now they're a completely different person. I found people who had rheumatoid arthritis, completely different person. I found other people who have been on carnivore for 65 years. They are 83 years old and don't look a day over 58. It's crazy ridiculous. And so many other people, bedridden, unable to walk. I mean, so many inspiring stories. And it got me thinking, like, what if we were completely lied to? Because all these things start falling into place. Everything that is approved for what you eat by any authority in this country. What if we're being lied to about all of it? Think about everything that's been demonized. And think about, never before have we had more education of how to be healthy, and never have we been more sick. Never have we had so many gyms and fitness centers, and never have we been more obese. Never have we had more and more supplement places, and we are more and more vitamin deficient. How? How does that happen? How is there a GNC on every corner, and yet we are the most vitamin deficient people probably in the world? How is there a gym every 10 feet for $10 a month, and yet we are the most obese country? How? Does it have anything to do with what we are being taught is healthy for us? I don't know. We're going to take a break. Don't go anywhere. I now present to you the Ranting Weight Watcher Accountability Creed. If you choose this day to say this creed, you are accountable to me, the author. You are also accountable to all of those before you who have taken the creed, and all of those after you who will take the creed. But most of all, you are accountable to yourself. Now recite with me the Accountability Creed. Nothing can stand in my way because I choose to be unstoppable. My challenges crumble in my presence because I choose strength when I am weak. My insecurities have no power over my life because I choose confidence in the face of fear. I own every last one of my mistakes because I choose growth over mediocrity. The mirror and the scale are powerless because I move forward in spite of the result. Circumstances are not obstacles because I see solutions instead of problems. The demons of my past can no longer torment me because I choose to renew my mind daily. All things are possible as long as I believe, because if God is for me, who can be against me? This is the creed I declare each day. It is about what I do, not what I say. I will learn the work that needs to be done. I will never stop, even when I've won. I will work consistently, no matter the cost. I refuse to believe that all hope is lost. I will work when I want to. I will work when I don't. I will work when they are cheering. I will work when they won't. I will work when it's easy. I will work when it's hard. The atonements that I've made are made with no regard. I will work when it's cold. I will work when it's hot. Because choices have consequences, justified or not. When I think I know it all, I will start back at one. Because regardless of what I think, the work is never done. And from this moment forward, when times are tough, I choose to believe that I am enough. And we are back. Thanks for sticking with me. I don't know, but there's a new show. There's a new show on Netflix right now. And it's called Dopesick. D-O-P-E-S-I-C-K. Dopesick. It's one word. And the story is about OxyContin. And what happened during the approval process and the implementation of using OxyContin, and how that became its own little epidemic of people dying of overdosing and all kinds of other things. And you watch as these people manipulate situations, and you think, if you have the brain I have, I think the world is filled with criminals, and the more polished the people look, the more of a criminal they actually are. That's the way my mind works. And you can call me crazy for that. I don't really care either way. But to see it all in action, it's almost like they're so arrogant, they are pushing it in your face, saying, yep, this is exactly what we did. And you're going to pretend it's not real because this is a TV show. You're going to go on saying, no, those authority people really care about us. They wouldn't do that. This is just a TV show. That's how arrogant they are, that they can put out a TV show that would show the entire playbook of how it's done. And you literally can sub any medication you want. Change the OxyContin to whatever you want. It's the same story. Any single drug that's ever been approved in any fashion for any way, shape, or form, you can plug. Change the name on the screen in your mind. And you could see it all play out. That's how the world works. That's how it's happening. And you know, it's funny because I don't know if you ever watched the show The Sopranos. This was an HBO television show, and it's still available. Like, you can have HBO, the streaming service for HBO, and you can watch the entire series of The Sopranos. The Sopranos was out in the 90s, and I believe it ended in the 2000s or the late 90s, something like that. And it was about a New Jersey crime family, Italian New Jersey crime family. There was rumor during that time period that whoever was writing the show had to have an inside tip. Had to have an inside tip because he was just getting way too many things of the inner workings of how things are organized. He was getting way too many of them right for him not to have an inside connection of how these things work. So if you can tell me that, why not this? Why not this is the blueprint for exactly how they made us sick and made a bunch of money while we did it. Everything is a problem and solution model. The whole world is set up that way. A problem is caused. Oh, wait, we have a solution. It happens over and over and over again. The Ozempic drug that they're pushing so much. 10 years from now, there's going to be a problem that caused from it, and they're going to have a solution. Mark my words. Something will come from this, and there will be a brand new drug to treat the chronic condition created by the scenario. They're already ready for it. You could take that, you can leave it, you could do whatever you want with it. Doesn't really matter to me either way. But I have seen way too many things happen. And especially now where I'm at in my journey. And to watch these people, and especially seeing that, and I only just recently started watching that, the Dope Sick TV show on Netflix. The stories I've been hearing, the testimonies I've been hearing, all of these things. So many of these people used to be vegan even, and now they're carnivore because they made themselves sick. I don't know what to say about any of it, except that when you see the people making money, that's how the world works, right? Money. Money is how the world works. It's not me. It's biblical. The love of money is the root of all evil. It's there. Grab a Bible, look for it, you'll find it. The love of money. It's not money. The love of money is the root of all evil. And when you see the inner workings, when you watch that show, of how they made it and they convinced physicians to use it and caused a pandemic of people addicted to opioids, and they made a crap load of money in the process. And to watch them, I understand this is like a dramatized version, right? This is not a true story by any means. I'm sure of it. They would never acknowledge that this is based on a true story because actual companies are being named in the show. The people who actually created OxyContin are being named in the show. But all of the inner workings are there. And to see a family laughing about the profits. Laughing. All of it ties together. The politicians, the FDA, the ADA, all of them. This one gets a kickback. This one gets a kickback. Everybody gets a kickback. And once this person sits on whatever council in the FDA and approves everything. He then moves on. And when he leaves his post in the FDA, he has a job waiting for him at the exact same company that he helped by passing all the legislation to create an opioid pandemic. He has a job waiting for him there, paying him five times the amount of money that he made while he was working for the FDA. So he worked for the FDA, did a bunch of things with the promise that he would have a job when he was done with his work at the FDA. And if you don't think that has happened, wash, rinse, repeat, over and over and over again, you're deciding to ignore it, not me. This is what I've been warning you about. They want you sick, so what does that mean? That means your only defense is to make sure you are as healthy as possible. They want you sick because what does it mean for them? If the food you eat makes you addicted and makes you sick, you're going to keep eating the food. You're going to end up going to the doctor. The doctor's going to give you the medication. Never once will they ever tell you to change your diet. You will go on eating the processed crap that keeps causing your medical conditions, and they keep handing you the medication for it. It's all on display. The entire process on that Netflix series. You want to pretend these people making all this money actually care about you? Go right ahead. I believe the words in that book that was written thousands of years ago that says, the love of money is the root of all evil. That's what I choose to believe. And in my mind, I would rather sit in a room full of mobsters who have committed murder, manslaughter, you name it. I would rather sit in a room full of those men any day than in a room full of the men that are creating the health problems that this country has. So why am I telling you all this? I'm telling you all this because of the mental struggle it has been for me to make this switch. I added fattier meat to my daily intake just to see how my body would react to the additions. And something happened that I never saw coming. See, what I thought would happen was I would introduce this meat and then I would go about my day as I had been all this time. That's what I thought was going to happen when I started all this. I added a pork chop to my breakfast. My breakfast before the pork chop was 3 eggs with cheese, hot peppers, and Canadian bacon in like an omelet. And rather than eliminating any from that, I added a pork chop on top of that. Everything we are taught is that high-fat meats are dangerous. We should stay away from them. But the addition of that one pork chop, being a fattier meat, actually being on a bone, and eating that in the morning, eliminated a whole bunch of food in between 6:30 in the morning and 2 p.m. There's a whole bunch of snacks that used to happen in between there. And they are almost all gone. Almost every single item. Because when 2 p.m. comes, all of the stuff that I didn't eat is still in the lunch bag. And instead of eating that, I ate more meat. Because I had a burger in there. And I had my turkey. I ate all of that meat next. And you know what happened? I didn't feel like eating the banana. I didn't feel like eating the apple. I didn't feel like eating the clementine. The baby carrots, the bell pepper, all gone. And what I used to be struggling at 175 grams of carbohydrates, I was struggling to go lower. Today, as we speak, as I record this on Tuesday night, my total carb intake for today is 32 grams. And the only difference between this Tuesday and the other Tuesdays before this is there's an added pork chop and an added hamburger. And everything in the middle got skipped because of those two additions. I went from 175 grams of carbs and struggling to 32 grams and just fine. Fully satisfied. That's the thing. That's the key here. The satisfaction that came with eating that pork chop at 6:30 in the morning, along with those eggs, the amount of satisfaction. I didn't even think about food again until about 2 o'clock, 2:15. It's amazing to me. If we can get off the idea that fatty meat is bad for us and realize that the real things that are causing all our problems is all of the other crap that we put in our body. All of the packaged crap that you take a wrapper off of that has a shelf life of God knows 20 years. Some of these things. If we came to them in 20 years and opened that package, it would be just as fresh as it is today. What did they do to that food to make that possible? That's what's causing all our sickness. It's not even the food itself in the wrapper. It's what they did to make it last 20 years. But you insist on continuing to eat that, and you also insist on believing everything you're told that these things just come with age. It has nothing to do with what you're putting in your mouth. When you get old, you just get sick. When you get old, your body gets tired of fighting. Fighting everything you throw down your throat. I watched this podcast, and the guy was talking about inflammation, and I never really understood what that is. Okay, you have inflammation. Okay, that just means things are, swelling, whatever. I don't know. I don't get it. Bloating, inflammation. That's kind of like the idea. The way people use inflammation. You know, you injure something, things get swollen, you got inflammation. But he's using it on a dietary perspective. And that's the part I didn't understand. I understand that if I get injured, I hurt my knee's going to be swollen. There's inflammation around my knee. I completely get that. But when he's talking about what you eat causing inflammation, I don't get that. But this doctor was talking about the food that we throw down, that the body having no idea what is coming. That the things we send down, because they have these 20-year shelf life and they come with all of these extra ingredients that we can't even pronounce, we can't own them in our house. It is illegal for you to possess the ingredients, but it's perfectly fine for you to ingest them. When you send those things down your throat, your body is like, oh, what's he doing now? What's she doing now? And your intestines swell up to prepare to defend itself against what you are eating. And so many of these things are designed to be addictive. They're designed so that you are never satisfied. They are designed so that you just keep putting hand to mouth over and over and over again. And when you run out, you just want to buy more. Meanwhile, your whole body is fighting, and it doesn't know what to do with these ingredients, so they all get sent to your liver. And your liver is just like, what am I going to do with this? Then comes fatty liver disease. We have all these chronic conditions, autoimmune problems, all of these things. What if they're all because of the crap we stick in our mouth while we avoid the stuff that we were told was unhealthy for us, that could be the real cause of why we are truly unhealthy? Because we are staying away from the things that would keep us satisfied and healthy. Like I said, you could take or leave what I'm telling you today. It doesn't affect me either way. I don't gain anything from you listening to what I'm saying. I literally gain nothing. If the only thing I have to gain is a bunch of people thinking I'm nuts, thinking I've lost it, thinking I am off the deep end. But you know what? I have never been more clear in my entire life. I have never seen more for the way the world works than I do right now. And it is disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. Every last bit of it. And you know what? As long as there's one person listening to me, they're going to hear the truth whether they want to or not. The way this world is designed and the way they are telling you to eat is killing you. It's killing every single one of us. The food makes us sick. You go to the doctor gives you medication that keeps you sick. He gives you additional medication to keep you sick. And never once do they tell you to stop eating what you're eating and you'll stop being sick. You know why? Because then their money will stop coming in the door. That's the real thing. The love of money is the root of all evil. Take it or leave it. That's the truth. There's a reason that scripture sits in that book, and I'm showing it to you. We are seeing it on a daily basis everywhere. Everything is quid pro quo. Everything. And it's your choice to look away. It's your choice. The ailments you have are not because they come with old age. They're because of what you're putting in your mouth. And if you didn't put it in your mouth, you wouldn't need the medication you need either. So the food companies get their cut. The doctors get their cut. The insurance companies get their cut. Everybody gets their cut. You die and you die penniless. And nothing gets passed on to the next generation. All because you were never taught that what you eat matters. Instead, you were enabled to believe it doesn't matter at all. I love each and every one of you. God bless you all.